Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as of late, I've become a pretty voracious reader. St. John's family, I tell you no lie when I say I've been reading through two, maybe even three books every single day, cover to cover. Of course, right around 100% of those books are kids' books that I've been reading to my children, so I've only been reading about 7 minutes a day or so. My boys are Ryan men, which means they are men of culture, as all Ryan men are, so they've been really into the classics as of late. I find myself reading a lot of books about a certain curious little monkey and a cat who likes to put on all kinds of hats. Well, lately they've been really into books about a couple of amphibians. Maybe you're familiar with these guys, Frog and Toad. Well, a few days ago, I read to them a Frog and Toad book called Tomorrow. And in Tomorrow, we find the curmudgeonly Toad is an absolute mess, and so is his house. He's got to clean up his room. His sink gets full of dirty dishes. They're not going to wash themselves. There's dusting to do. The windows need scrubbing. The plants, they need watering. And all Toad wants to do is just lie in bed all day. And I quote, take things easy. He's going to get around to those things eventually. He just needs a good night's sleep before he's ready to check anything off of that to-do list. He's going to do those things, and he's going to do them tomorrow. Well, sadly, as we turn to page 199 of the Frog and Toad Treasury Days with Frog and Toad, we find Toad having this very bleak conversation with his best friend Frog. Blah, said Toad. I feel down in the dumps. Why? Asked Frog. Well, I'm thinking about tomorrow, said Toad. I'm thinking about all the many things I will have to do. Yes, said Frog. Tomorrow will be a very hard day for you. Poor Toad, am I right? This is just so sad. He's overwhelmed. He's anxious. He's stressed. He's even a little bit depressed just thinking about all those things that face him tomorrow. St. John's family, I ask you, what, oh, what could Toad possibly do today to feel better about all the things that he faces tomorrow? The answer is really easy, right? He could stop putting off what he could and should be doing today for tomorrow. And that light bulb goes off in Toad's head as the story comes to its conclusion. He gets up out of bed and he starts cleaning his room. He goes to the sink. He cleans all those dirty dishes. He's washing. He's scrubbing. He's dusting. He even waters the plants. And after all that, he states the obvious. He looks around at his clean house and says, wow, now I feel better. St. John's family, what makes Toad's situation better? It wasn't knowing what he needed to do. He absolutely knew what he needed to do. He had that to-do list, right? It wasn't knowing what he needed to do that made him feel better. It was actually doing it. And there is a lesson in there for us, isn't it? A very obvious lesson. And a lesson that a certain someone in our gospel lesson today seems to understand quite well. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, one of my favorite people in the entire Bible. In our gospel lesson today in Matthew 2, we find Joseph doing his best to guide God's son, the son that he loves, Jesus, who is right around one or so at this point. This young family has been freshly visited by some wise men who left them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, led all the way to the little town of Bethlehem by that star. Of course, before they stopped in the little town of Bethlehem, they stopped in the big town of Jerusalem, where they spent a little time at King Herod the Great's palace. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with King Herod the Great, not really a great guy at all. At this point, he'd been ruling in Judea, the territory where Jesus was born, for about 40 years. And to put it lightly, he was very evil. In fact, history tells us that he had three of his own sons and his own wife murdered because they were becoming threats to his power, threats to the throne. In fact, there was a saying in Judea at that time that it was better to be Herod's pig than his son. The pigs had a longer lifespan than a lot of his sons did. And that evil, evil man, he had a certain nickname that he loved to go by. He loved to be called the King of the Jews. Does that sound familiar at all? Well, when he hears that someone else's star is rising, someone else is going to be competing with him for that nickname, he flies off the handle and he does what he always tries to do. He's going to eliminate the threat to keep power. Of course, God makes sure his son is well protected. From Matthew 2:13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Imagine this scene with me for just a minute here. Joseph has this dream and he wakes up. It's the middle of the night. It might not even be midnight yet. They probably went to bed when the sun first went down. He rubs the sleep out of his eyes. He's all bleary-eyed. He looks around the room. He sees Jesus, his one-year-old son, fast asleep. You don't wake a sleeping baby, right? He sees his young wife, Mary, a young mother of young children. You definitely don't want to wake her up in the middle of the night, right? And as Joseph surveys the scene, the temptation would have been to do this, to say, "Let's head to Egypt tomorrow. After a good night's sleep, of course, we need a good night's rest before we set out on a journey like this. In fact, why don't we all sleep in? And when we wake up, I'll make everybody a big breakfast," right? We don't want to leave on this journey on an empty stomach. Everyone will be cranky if we do that. In fact, let's make sure we take a long morning to get everything we need for this journey. Make sure that packing list is thoroughly checked and completed. We're going to be gone for a long time after all. The temptation for Joseph would have been delayed obedience. And St. John's family, delayed obedience is disobedience. But in our story today, God tells Joseph to do something and he just gets up and does it. "Get up," the angel said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. God says, "Joseph, do this." And he gets up in the middle of the night without delay and he does it. And by the way, this is a theme in Joseph's life as far as Scripture records his life. This story is one you're probably pretty familiar with. It's the Christmas story. I hope you heard it at some point over the last few days. It says from Matthew chapter 1, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." God says, "Joseph, do this." And he just does it without delay. God asked Joseph to do something and he did it. He didn't question. He didn't sleep on it for the night. He didn't go to his family and friends and ask them what they would do, right? "I had this strange dream. What would you do if you were me?" God asked Joseph to do something, and he just does it. And because Joseph acted with unquestioning, immediate obedience, God works through Joseph to do some incredible things for the son that he loves, Jesus. He gives Jesus a good, stable home. He gives him an earthly father who protects him from all those who would do Jesus harm. I say it again. God says, "Joseph, do this," and he just does it. Now, I will point out that obedience didn't necessarily make things easier for Joseph. Sometimes we fall under that illusion that if we just obeyed God perfectly, that life would be easier, so much smoother, and that's not always necessarily the case. For Joseph, it didn't make things easier per se. to take Mary as his wife still, even though she's pregnant out of wedlock with a child that's not Joseph's? That wouldn't have made things easier, right? He would have been a social pariah. And going to Egypt, leaving your home territory to go to this foreign land with a young family, that wouldn't have made things easier either. Obedience didn't necessarily make things easier, but look at all the fruit that comes out of this situation because God, through Joseph, keeps his son safe. Fruit that we're still experiencing today. In case you missed it, this sermon is going to be on delayed obedience. And the truth is, if we look in the mirror, there are areas where we are putting off obeying God. And if you can't think of any, ask God to reveal them to you because there are areas where we all put off obeying God. Maybe for you, it's reading the Bible. You know you're supposed to read the Bible. You know God has told you to do this. You know God only wants what's best for you, but you just haven't gotten around to it. You will one day. Maybe for you, it's a broken relationship where you know you're supposed to be offering forgiveness to that person, but you just haven't quite gotten around to it yet. Maybe for you, it's some simple sin like gossiping, right? You just can't seem to stop. You know you're supposed to, and you plan on stopping one day. And that's the lie you keep on telling yourselves. We all tell ourselves that sometimes, that we're going to obey. I'll obey. I will. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'll obey tomorrow. I'll do the things I'll know I'm supposed to do tomorrow when I'm more ready. I'll start reading the Bible after I get a few good nights' sleep. When I'm in that season of life where I have a little more energy, then I'll read it. I'll forgive that person when they apologize to me and I think it's coming soon. I'll stop gossiping soon, but I've got this one other thing I really got to tell you. It's so good. I'll stop gossiping tomorrow. My friends, one of Satan's biggest lies is that you have more time. He's always trying to convince you of that. He comes to you, he whispers in your ears, you can do what God wants you to do. You will do it tomorrow, and he'll be okay with that. And then he doubles down on that lie with saying you'll be more ready to obey by then. It's actually my very important point of the day here. Different circumstances won't change your willingness to obey God immediately. Only Jesus can do this. I love this quote from Elizabeth Elliot here. It says, the secret to change is Christ in you, not you in a different set of circumstances. So often we make the mistake of looking at others who are obeying God in the areas where we aren't, and we don't give credit to Jesus. We give credit to their circumstances. We say, of course, she reads the Bible every day. She's retired. She has all the time in the world. If I was retired and had all that time, I'd be reading the Bible. I know that I would. Of course, he forgives. He's barely had anything bad happen to him in his life. He hasn't had the things happen to him that I've had happen to me. Forgiveness is easy for him. I say it again. The secret to change is Christ in you, not you in a different set of circumstances. The Bible's very clear here from Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In other words, if you are struggling to change, if there are areas where you look at your life and there is delayed obedience, which is disobedience, you should go to Jesus and you should ask him to change your heart, not your circumstances. And by the way, that is a prayer that he honors. And as he changes your heart, stop putting off the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. If you've been putting off reading the Bible, don't wait for your circumstances to change. Become a person who reads the Bible no matter what your circumstances are. And by the way, in case you haven't heard, we are starting a 2-year read-through of the Bible here at St. John's. We're calling it Cover to Cover. And you don't exactly have to be a voracious reader to keep pace with this 2-year reading plan. I don't think you'll have to read for more than about 7 minutes a day or so to keep pace. If you're putting off forgiveness, if you've been putting that off, don't wait for your circumstances to change. Become a person who forgives no matter what your circumstances are. Don't wait for that apology that may or may never happen. Become a person who forgives right here, right now. And I'll say it once again. It's not about changing your circumstances. It's about Jesus changing your heart. Pray, ask Jesus to change your heart, and then stop putting off the things he's telling you to do. Now, by the way, just like any sin that we struggle with, even if there's areas where after this sermon you've been delaying obedience and you're all motivated from hearing God's word, you start doing the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, there's going to be times when you struggle with the same old sin and delay obedience once again. Maybe you look at your life and you've been acting like a prince and suddenly you find yourself turning back into the toad, right? Delaying obedience. If that is you, don't fret, don't despair. Take yourself to the Prince of Peace who forgives you as many times as you confess your sins to him. Don't delay doing that for a single second, my friends. And why is Jesus able to forgive even the worst of your sins? Well, he's able to do that because he didn't delay obedience a single time. He lived an absolutely perfect, lawless, obedient, sinless life. And then he took his obedient self to the cross, where he died with his perfect, obedient life being the price paid that you owed, that I owed, that we owed for our sins. On that cross, something amazing happened. I love this verse from Romans 5:19. It says, "By the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous." On that cross, Jesus took all your acts of disobedience onto himself. And then he gave you his perfect obedience. He gave you his righteousness. It's called the great exchange for a reason, right? And when you receive Jesus' righteousness, each and every time, you can get up and follow him, having been forgiven, no matter what your circumstances were. And like I said, this is not an area where you want to delay obedience at all. God doesn't want you to hang on to those sins. Go to him. Give him those sins. Receive his righteousness. And then get up, follow him, and start doing the things once again that you know you're supposed to be doing. Much like with Joseph, as you obey God, good fruit will absolutely be produced. As you do things like read the Bible, you're going to get the fruit of faith. That is what he promises to you in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. As you stop putting off forgiveness and confess your sins and forgive others, you're going to get the fruit of joy. That is God's promise to you. And he's going to take that bitterness away from you as well. As you stop gossiping, as you start speaking well of others, the fruit of encouragement, it's going to be produced. And we all need that fruit sometimes, don't we? Look, St. John's family, I'm not going to delay the end of this sermon for another minute here. My prayer for you is this. May you go to Jesus and may he reveal to you the areas in your life where you are delaying obedience. May he then change your heart and not your circumstances. And as he changes your heart and as you receive his forgiveness, may you get up and follow him, having been forgiven no matter what your circumstances are. May you do the things you know that you should be doing, and may much good fruit be produced in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.